hear the train a-comin', it's rollin' round a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart. I pastor of Denver Bible Church and current resident at the El Paso County Jail. I am Doug McBurney, sitting in today for Bob during his, well, some would say unfortunate incarceration, unless you're one of the heathens that he's had a chance to witness to there in the jail. And then it's quite a fortunate incarceration that Bob is enduring now at the El Paso County Jail down in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Is everything working okay? Where's Johnny? I thought we were going to let Johnny play for a little while. Bring Johnny back. We're going to bring Johnny back for a little bit, and we're going to cover a number of issues, and Bob may very well call into the broadcast today. There's Johnny. Yeah, bring it up. It's rolling around a bend, and it's very quiet in here. Hopefully the people out there in Radio Land are getting a feel for the blues that Bob's been going through over these. Just these last, how long's he been in now? This is the eighth day. This is the eighth day. There's a very good chance that Bob Enyart and Ken Scott will be released from prison down in El Paso County tomorrow morning, quite possibly, right? All right, sing it, Johnny.
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
All right, now I was listening to Bob just the other day. Was that yesterday when he was talking about his back? Talk about hang your head and cry. He couldn't even sleep down there in the jail. And apparently, now Bob may call in, he may not. You know, there's some restrictions. There may be like a big tattooed guy on the phone. And, you know, Bob's not going to necessarily be able to just get at the phone whenever he wants to. So we may or may not hear from Bob with an update. So there's a few things I wanted to let folks know in case you were concerned. Bob was able to see a doctor at some point yesterday and was able to sleep last night. I don't know if he saw a chiropractor and he had an adjustment, or if the doctor prescribed some medications that allowed Bob to sleep. But apparently he's doing better in that regard. Sounded quite good on the phone. Looking forward to getting out. And I want to give an update on our efforts here, or at least on my broadcast over at the Weekly Worldview. We have been working to raise an honorarium payment to Bob and to Ken Scott. And we have only raised just a few hundred dollars. So, folks, please step up to the plate. Write a check payable to Bob Enyart. Write a check payable to Ken Scott for at least $50 to cover one day of their incarceration. This is an honorarium for the lectures they've given there at the jail. And mail those checks in to P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, so that when Bob and Ken get out of jail, we can let them know that we think they're worth far more than $50 a day. And do we have a caller? We have a caller on line one. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is an inmate from the El Paso County Jail.
Oh, an inmate from the El Paso County Jail.
Doug McBurney. Doug, thank you for doing the show while I'm sort of tied up.
Well, Bob, now, I was just given an update on the situation with your back.
Yes.
And can you give us the play-by-play? Was it a chiropractor who gave you an adjustment, or did an actual doctor come in and maybe prescribe some medication?
I went down into the med center. They must have a dozen people working on their medical staff, maybe 20.
Really?
Yeah, because when you have hundreds of criminals and you lock them up for weeks and months or years, you know, they have all kinds of medical problems.
Yeah.
Doug, it's an illustration of why we should not use incarceration as a punishment.
Amen.
Because you got to deal with everybody's problems, and boy, do they have severe acne and everything else.
Everything from acne to back spasms, eh?
Yeah, and so they gave me painkillers and muscle relaxers, and I slept like I was in a coma for 12 hours.
Well, it sounded, listening to yesterday's broadcast, you did a great job, but I could tell that you needed some sleep.
Yeah, I did, and now I could whoop people on the chessboard again.
I was just telling folks you might not be able to call in because there might be a large tattooed fellow on the telephone, but you're so sprightly today, you just told him, hey, come on, I'm using this phone. And he went back to his cell, right? Did we lose Bob? Apparently we lost Bob. As will happen from time to time when you're calling from jail. But he'll be back any moment. I'm sure he'll try to call. Did we put enough money on his... what was the deal? We had to, like, put money in the bank for the jail so that Bob could call. It was all quite weird. And by the way, those collect calls from the El Paso County Jail are quite expensive. I mean, that's more money than I've ever paid for a phone call. How much? 85 cents a minute? That's unbelievable. How are we supposed to do? We just got another $50 for the honorarium? Good. Now make sure, folks, that you make your checks payable to Bob Enyart personally, to Ken Scott personally, and if you can write a check for $100, send him each $100. If he can write a check for $1,000, they could really each use $1,000. And believe me, the work that was done there in the El Paso County Jail and the gospel scripture that was imparted to these prisoners is worth far more than any amount of money than any of you could possibly send in. Bob's in there. He's planting seeds. I don't know if he'll see any jailhouse conversions. You know, and of course, we all know that jailhouse conversions are generally not treated as genuine, but they very well may be, and it certainly is the case that Bob has planted some seeds. Oh, is Bob trying to call back in? Maybe that tattooed fellow was upset that I was letting folks know that Bob had basically taken the phone away from him like back in grade school, and maybe he took the phone back. I don't know. But we'll find out what happened with the doctor. We'll get Bob's general impression on incarceration in general. And I also want to update on some of the folks he's been witnessing to. I know he's been doing some Bible studies, and I want to get an update on some of the folks. And we're going to bring Bob back any moment. Are you back, Bob?
Hey, Doug, I'm here.
Praise the Lord.
When we lost the call, another inmate looked at me and he said, "Did you lose the call? That phone's always breaking. That phone doesn't work."
Uh-oh.
So there's six phones here for 72 guys, and all the other phones were in use.
Yeah.
So I took out a Kool-Aid packet, and I said, "Anybody want to trade a Kool-Aid packet for a phone?"
Oh.
The one guy said, "I'm all over that. Give me that."
Bob is master of the barter system there in jail.
That's right.
Now, what did you trade your dinner for the other day?
Envelopes, stamped envelopes.
Dinner for the envelopes.
Three stamped envelopes, and it was chicken nuggets.
And those envelopes you said cost about 60 cents a piece?
Yeah, 54 cents each.
54, so that's $1.60?
Yeah.
Was that good trade?
Oh, that was a great trade.
Okay.
you know when you watch a movie and they show the inmates eating slop?
Yeah.
Well, they filmed all those movies right here in El Paso. And it tastes like it, too, I'll tell you that.
Well, so we've got to do then, in addition to the honorarium that we're working diligently to arrange for you and Ken when you get out, we're going to have to arrange a decent meal.
Well, a decent meal I'm all for. I don't know about the honorarium thing, but Ken Scott and I are honored to be here with our brothers in Christ who happen to be arrested for being criminals, fools, but also with the guys who don't know the Lord. And, Doug, the Bible studies in jail are the most extraordinary experiences.
I wanted to get an update because you had mentioned a couple of different people, a couple of different studies that you were pursuing. How's it going, and have you seen some fruit from all your efforts?
Oh, tremendous fruit. Ken Scott, even though we're not in the same pod, we could sort of get messages back and forth. And I think he's been more effective in leading people to the Lord, praying the sinner's prayer with people. I've had the honor of doing that also, but I've spent hours upon hours upon hours with individual guys. And one guy, his name is Sean, and he was the ugliest, hardest guy when we came into jail on Wednesday with him. And he's now, I mean, I'm watching him across the pod. He's talking to this Francisco guy from California. And this Francisco guy said, "You know, I want to serve God, but first I want to have sex with a lot of women. I want to have parties and raves and get drunk."
Huh.
So Sean said, "Pastor, you got to read from the Bible to this guy.
All right.
So, Doug, I turn to Luke chapter 12 when the Lord gave the parable of the rich guy.
Right.
Who thought his life was all set up, and the Lord said, "Fool, this very night your soul is required of you."
Wow.
And when I read that, the black guy, Sean, he stood up and he said, "I got chills, I got chills."
Wow. You've brought Sean along quite a way. That's awesome. Praise God.
Yeah, Sean is, it's startling, Doug. It's absolutely startling. The hardest heart to be so willing and ready for someone to share the gospel and to turn their life around.
Well, and you know, Bob, you being there in jail, obviously sharing the gospel and obviously because you're already a preacher, what words of encouragement can you give to us? Because I've heard similar things said by kids in college, let alone guys in jail, and it's hard for people like us who aren't ministers and pastors to work up the nerve to actually confront them and then share the gospel with them. Give us some words of encouragement. How do you do it?
Well, people say they're looking for an open door, they're looking for an opportunity. I mean, every moment is an opportunity and an open door. We were standing in a med lot. You know the med cart comes around, Doug?
The med cart.
A nurse.
Okay.
And there's like, you know, out of 72 guys, there's about 20 who need some kind of medication.
Right.
And so it's a long line. Anyway, we're in line, and I mentioned to the guy in front of me, I said, "Look at her blouse, that nurse. Her blouse had big butterflies on it."
Yeah.
I said, "You know what they're called, monarch butterflies?" He said, "Oh, yeah, man, yeah." And I said, "You know how they're a caterpillar, and then they spin a cocoon around themselves, a chrysalis, and then they liquidate themselves, and they emerge as a beautiful flying creature." And the inmate said, "Oh, yeah, man, that's cool." I said, "But how could that evolve? Is it possible for that to evolve? If you liquidate it yourself, would you reemerge as some other creature?"
Hmm.
He said, "No, man, I'd be dead." And so I said, "God created that butterfly. There is no evolution. Darwin was wrong." I said, "That butterfly, that is a barrier to evolution. You can't evolve. God created us." And he said, "Oh, man, I see your point. I see your point."
Wow, awesome.
So that's just the nurse with the butterfly blouse. So it is exciting.
Well, that's tremendous encouragement. I want to get an update on the Vietnam vet guy, the G.I. Joe guy. What's happening there?
Oh, yeah, that was just the most extraordinary experience. When Ken Scott and I were processed in, we were in intake, and it took about 8 hours with about 20 other guys. And some of the guys really stood out for just different reasons, for being vulgar, despicable, gross, for being angry, for being nice. Well, this one G.I. Joe guy, boy, was he angry. And when he heard us talking about God, he did not like it.
Whoa.
He said, "There is no God, and I was in Iraq, and I killed people." And so we tried to talk to him, of course, but he just would shut it down. And so this other black guy who was, he's just so sharp, and he asked so many great questions. He said, "If I keep living my life the way I am ruining my life and everybody around me." That "I know I need God, but I don't understand these issues." And he asked great questions. So when we were talking to him at a Bible study, I said, "God gives us freedom, and some people don't love God. They don't want to live with God. They'd rather go to hell." And he said, "There's nobody like that, nobody." And I said, "There is too, right in this furry pod there are guys like that." And he said, "No, there's not." And I said, "Well, G.I. Joe over there, he's a guy like that." And he said, "No, I don't believe it." I said, "Well, I'll go over there and get him, and we could let him tell us." So I went and got G.I. Joe, and he came along, and he said, "No, I don't believe in God. I don't want anything to do with God. I just don't care." And that's when he mentioned he was in Iraq. He was in the fight for Sadr City, which is an extraordinary piece of history to be involved in. And he said, "And I killed dozens of people, and there is no God." And that's when this big, tall, black guy, he's a trustee, he spoke with such conviction. He said, "I killed hundreds." And Doug, we were shocked, because the way he spoke, we didn't know what he was talking about, but we knew he was not lying or exaggerating. He said, "I killed hundreds. He said, "I was in Vietnam. We killed people, we killed goats, we killed..." killed sheep, we killed chickens, we killed people. I killed hundreds. That doesn't mean there is no God. There is a God who made us.
Wow.
Doug, it was so powerful. And then he ended up saying to this guy said, yeah, but I don't believe in God. And he said, you will believe in God. There will come a time when you will know there is a God. And G.I. Joe said, well, you know what? I bet you're right. I'm just not ready yet.
Uh-huh.
And so he got to the point where this Francisco guy from California was just literally 20 minutes ago when he said, I want to serve God, but first I want to party, and I want to have sex with a lot of women, and I want to get drunk. And that's when the black guy, Sean, he said, Pastor, read to him from the Bible. Read to him. So I turned to Luke 12, and what a great fellowship. And then I had to leave that to come and try to call you.
Oh, wow.
So I left one of the greatest Bible studies I've been in my life. And Doug, last night we're in Genesis. And you read the stories in the Bible, and God is real to everyone in the world who will seek him. Inmates in jail, when they read the Bible is as real and alive as anything could ever be.
And you're doing a Bible study in Genesis with the prisoners?
Yeah, that's right. We're going through about 5 chapters a night or so.
And what a great place to start, whether it's with a child or with an inmate, someone who's in prison, anyone who's open or seeking in any way.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how God put the entire ability to understand him really is right there in Genesis?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I've taken my Bible. I've got a brand new hardcover New King James from the Gideons for free.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's one of the bennies for coming to jail.
Oh, cool.
And so I've been trying to turn it into a study Bible, and I've been putting cross-reference notes and notes through the whole Bible. I think I've got about 300 notes in here so far.
Wow.
And I'm praying when I leave that God can help me have wisdom to choose the right inmate to give this as a gift to.
Oh.
So that they'll have a study Bible where the notes are all handwritten.
Mm.
And maybe they could go on to learn more from this.
Wow. Well, Bob, I will pray, and I'll ask everyone in the audience to pray that when that time comes, that you have the wisdom to know where to give that tremendous gift. I think the folks there in the El Paso County government have no idea of the gift that they've given to the prisoners there by allowing you and Ken Scott to be in there to be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Doug, they have given the gift of eternal life to some of the guys in here. Because forget about separation of church and state. This is a full-time, government-funded jail ministry to the glory of Jesus Christ.
Man, well, it's inspirational to hear about it, Bob. You could have paid a fine and walked away, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's true. And Ken Scott spoke eloquently and said, I choose to not give money to a court system that authorizes the killing of innocent children.
Mm.
And so I respectfully, Your Honor, I will not pay that fine. And I concurred completely with Ken and agreed and told the judge I would not pay a fine either.
Well, we appreciate the witness of real Christian men who stand up for the real gospel of the real living God and who put their money and their time and their life where their mouth is. It's just an inspiration, Bob.
Well, thank you, Doug. And you know what? The rescue movement is basically dead because of that FACE Act. The freedom of access to clinic entrances, where if you rescue once, it's 6 months in a federal penitentiary, plus many thousands of dollars.
Right.
If you rescue twice, it's 2 years. 3 times, it's life in a federal pen.
Yeah.
But you know what? The rescue movement could consider using creativity and courage and protest and peaceful civil disobedience in many ways, not just at abortion clinics.
Hmm. Well, a lot of people. I'm intimidated by jail, Bob. I've gone there a couple of times.
Jail is like a church retreat.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on your attitude when you come to jail. But when you're singing praises, like Peter and John, you're singing praises, and you win your captors to the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, it must be different to be. Now, have you met anyone else in jail who is being imprisoned for some political or religious cause?
No.
No. Have you met anyone else who's innocent?
I haven't met anyone who admits to doing what they're in for.
Oh, no?
The only two people out of 1,000 people here, the only two people who admit it are me and Ken Scott.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember when you guys were on trial, I forget, one of the people who was watching the trial said that their hopes for you not being convicted were dashed every time you insisted that you were guilty. During
right.
the trial, they said, well, Bob kept saying, yes, of course, we're guilty, but...
right.
And they had a feeling that you guys were not going to be able to
that's right.
to be found
so, Doc,
guilty.
Do you have any questions about jail life? You know, a lot of people are not in here.
Oh, well, let me... Speaking of jail life, let me just tell you, Bob, I've been traveling and I've been sick for 5 days, 6 days.
Oh, no.
And my illness came upon me right at the moment where you were describing the blanket that you were sleeping on. It was something to do with a blanket and the number of human hairs, and I've been sick, physically ill, ever since.
Well, I'm sorry for doing that to you. Too much information.
That was bad.
That was on Thursday, I think, on Thursday's radio show. And I said, what's the grossest thing about being in jail?
Yeah.
Well, this blanket, they issue everybody one blanket.
You have 60 seconds left on this call.
Doug, they issue a blanket, and I estimated too high. It turns out there were about 130 human hairs on my blanket.
Oh.
And I've found over 100 of them, and you could even identify them by race, you know?
Oh,
all
no.
the African hairs, you spot those quick. They're real dark and curly.
Right.
And then the Caucasian hairs, it's harder to find them, but they're there.
Oh.
So that's sort of gross.
Now, what about the bed? Are you sleeping? Is it nice and soft? Is it one of those adjustable sleep number things?
No, it's not. It's not so great.
No.
Doug, I'm going to be cut off in 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to use my fingerprint to make a phone call here from in jail.
Right.
That's how the phone works with the code and all. It costs a fortune.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling
you
us.
Have 10 seconds left on this call.
Well, Doug, thank you for co-hosting. And let me say this. This is Bob Enyart reminding you all
to do right and risk the consequences, which I'm certain that's what Bob was ending with right there. Wow, what an inspiration. I don't have it in me. How about you? I myself, I don't have it in me. I would have paid the fine and gone home to my comfortable sleep number bed and my wife's home cooking, and I just don't have it in me. Do you have it in you to stand up and to speak the truth and to resist the temptation to give in and to walk away when you have an opportunity and obligation to preach the gospel? I don't know how many of us have it in us. I think it's a gift. And perhaps it's a gift that we can exercise and make stronger over time. And what helps us do that is the example of men like Bob Enyart and Ken Scott. It's examples like this that can lead those of us who don't really think we have it in us to find it in us, maybe not to go to prison, but to speak the truth when we find an opportunity, to make opportunities to speak the truth that will have eternal consequences with the souls of lost human beings. And that's why over at the Weekly Worldview last week, we set up the honorarium program. Now, for those in the audience who may not know what an honorarium is, an honorarium is a sum of money paid to a speaker, not so much as payment to him, but just in honor of the fact that he has graced your organization with his lecture, his speech, or his teaching. And so Bob Enyart and Ken Scott are in the El Paso County Jail. And certainly the honor is all El Paso County's. Bob and Ken Scott are being dishonored every day in the way they're being treated and the way they're expected to live and the way they're housed. And meanwhile, they're heaping honor upon El Paso County by making that jail a fertile ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So those of us in the body of Christ, I feel like we owe an honorarium to Bob and Ken. And so I'm going to ask one more time, this may be the last time that I guest host or co-host while Bob's in jail. And so I want to ask you to search your heart, take a look at your bank account, and decide how much can you give to Bob and Ken in honor of what they've done for all of us in the body of Christ. Because none of us were in jail with them over these past 8 or 10 days. None of us had the opportunity forced upon us to witness to some of the Well, frankly, the scum of the earth is basically what's in jail. I've been in jail a few times, and the people there are not, you know, the kind of folks that you invite to a typical tea party. But Ken and Bob did not shrink from that opportunity. In fact, I can assure you they have maximized the opportunity to be a witness for the truth, for creation, for salvation, for the good news of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous honor to be even be associated with this ministry. So join me as when Ken Scott and Bob Enyart get out of jail here over the next few excuse me. See, I told you I was sick. Just hearing about that blanket made me sick again. Anyway, join me in offering what small amount we may be able to offer to Bob and Ken personally in honor of the efforts that they have put forth to honor Jesus Christ and to not shrink away from what many of us would turn and flee and run from, frankly. Okay, so I've done my... Bob did get some sleep. And what did he say? It wasn't a chiropractor. It was actually some medications. He was standing in line at the med cart. What a riot that is. Can you imagine how the quantity and the variety of drugs that the local government has to issue out in jail just to keep from getting sued every day? It's just unbelievable. And we found out that, boy, that's interesting about G.I. Joe. There are some tough guys in prison, but there probably are a lot of Christians in prison. They just happen to have done something very foolish, and so they end up in prison. Bob and Ken are the exact opposite. They did something incredibly brave, something that, frankly, many of us found to be borderline insane, because they went down and confronted one of the largest Christian ministries in the world because of their hypocrisy. Not unlike Paul, who confronted Peter about his hypocrisy. You know, who are we in the body if we're not able to at least help each other remain true to the gospel? And in that effort to help Dr. Dobson, Bob and Ken ended up in prison, where they've now been for 8 days, and where they've been a tremendous witness for the gospel and for the truth of Jesus Christ. It's just it's an honor to be associated with it. You in the audience should feel honored to even be able to participate and hear about this ministry. So anyway, do we have an update on where the honorarium program is? We've raised a few hundred dollars. Is that a few hundred? We really need to do better than that, folks. So anyway, take a look in your heart and see what you can do, because Bob and Ken are worth it. They certainly are. They don't need it, and they don't even want it, but they are worth it. And I want everyone to just keep Bob and Ken in your prayers, that the fruit that is born there in jail will indeed be eternal, and that they will be strengthened and lifted up as they approach the moment of their release, which is soon. And here we're going to bring Johnny back. All right, just so everyone can get in the spirit of things. Yeah, so everyone get this is how they're feeling out there, the El Paso County Jail, when they start hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
On a fancy dining car, they're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming.
This is for you, Bob.
I know I can't be free.
And for Ken Scott.
But those people keep a moving. And that's what tortures me.
All right, now play it for us, Johnny.